This is Scott Becker with the Becker Business and Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Jonathan Ishii. Jonathan's a partner at McGuire Woods who focuses in the digital health and healthcare area. He's going to talk to us about the trends that he's watching today, what he's seeing, where he's most focused this year, and a little bit more. Jonathan, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. And hi, Scott, and thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. Obviously, my name is Jonathan Ishii. I'm a healthcare partner at McGuire Woods, and I'm the co-lead of the Digital Health Technology and Innovation Group. And I focus my practice on clients in the healthcare and technology space and advise clients on regulatory issues, data privacy and security, and the use of technology in the transformation of healthcare delivery and reimbursement.
And how did you get into that area? How did that become the area of interest to yourself?
Sure. So I actually got into it because besides having a law degree, I actually have a master's of science in biomedical informatics and a master's of public health. And besides being a partner at McGuire Woods, I'm actually the assistant professor of biomedical informatics at the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston. And I kind of, going through that program really got me interested in health IT and informatics. And that's kind of has helped me when I advise clients because I can basically discuss both the legal and some practical business related issues surrounding health IT and issues in the space.
And talk about some of the trends you're following. What trends are you watching in digital health and health IT? What are the things that you're keeping your eye on currently?
So I think the biggest area that I think I'm seeing in digital health, and I think a lot of your listeners are probably seeing, is the explosive growth in use of artificial intelligence in the healthcare space. We call it machine learning, not just to detect health conditions, but also in the provision of healthcare. Machine learning goes along with what we call big data or data analytics. And so when I'm talking about these kind of this area, I kind of lump those two together because without a large data set, artificial intelligence and machine learning software can't learn. So, as you know, this area is kind of a relatively new area. And if you think back to kind of how we got into machine learning in healthcare, it started with the, push by HHS to get all providers to adopt electronic health records. And within those electronic health records, you saw things like kind of the first generation of machine learning, which were like drug-drug interaction checkers and clinical decision support tools, which were kind of a very primitive artificial intelligence kind of tool. For those listeners who aren't familiar with clinical decision support, basically it would, if you were a doctor and you were thinking about ordering an MRI for a patient with some type of condition, you would put the order in the EHR and the clinical decision support tool within the EHR would say, hey, maybe you should start with an x-ray first because that's what the evidence-based guidelines are recommend starting with. And then if the x-ray doesn't show what you're looking for, you kind of move on to a more aggressive intervention or a test. But where this kind of the exciting part of this and where it's growing is, artificial intelligence and machine learning is explosively moving to an area where it's not just, doing kind of simple decision tree, artificial intelligence. These tools now, are in reality learning. And so they're, being able to, detect conditions and disease states that, you would never think a software would be able to do. I mean, I know, for example, that a couple years ago, Nature had an article where they had done used a radiology AI tool that could actually detect instances of breast cancer better than a human radiologist. So I see this area as being an area that's very, there's explosive growth you're only going to see more of this as we move forward. And I think it's also ripe with legal issues for, software developers, providers, and patients as the technology grows.
And thank you. And how much of your work, Jonathan, is done with people investing in healthcare or health systems trying to figure this stuff out where's the majority of your work done and who do you work with?
Sure. So I see a lot of consolidation in this space, or consolidation and also purchases by private equity clients, because obviously I think everyone's starting to realize that this area is only going to increase, and these technologies, you know, become almost, providers almost become dependent on these types of technologies. So I see a lot of that. I do a lot of work with providers who are trying to adopt these types of systems to make sure, you know, both on kind of the traditional contracting side, but also kind of thinking through how these types of systems will work, and, you know, kind of the unintended consequences, or, you know, issues that come up when these systems are implemented. And then I have some clients who are software developers who are developing these types of systems, and you know, they have issues. These software developers may not be traditionally in the healthcare space, and so obviously healthcare is a heavily regulated industry. There's, you know, certain types of software is regulated, certain by the FDA, certain software is not. So it kind of runs the whole gambit in the space.
And talk a bit about what you're most excited about and focused on this year.
So I think for this year, kind of, I think of digital health, and I really do think the pandemic has made 2020 and 2021 the year of digital health. There's a couple things that I think of. Obviously, telemedicine has been the breakout star during the pandemic. You know, regulators and payers have relaxed prohibitions on the use and reimbursement for telemedicine, which has historically been a barrier to widespread adoption. So you had, on one hand, people paying for it and the regulations being relaxed. And on the other hand, you know, the pandemic has forced patients who might be wary of using technology or trying to have a doctor's visit through telemedicine to actually use telemedicine. And once they've used it, I think a lot of people like it for routine kind of consultations. And so I really do think that the telemedicine was the breakout star, and it's only going to grow. And then I also see a lot of innovation along with telemedicine in hardware developers who are rolling out hardware to use with telemedicine, so you can do, you know, remote collection of vitals. So, for example, I have an elderly parent. Their doctor actually mailed them a kit that goes with their iPad when they do telemedicine, and it, you know, does everything under the sun. It has a stethoscope, an otoscope, a thermometer. It measures their pulse. It has a high resolution camera. It's almost as if you can get, you can do all those basic vital checks at home with a quality that you would get as if you had it done in a doctor's office. So I see that being another area of growth. And then I also think that you're seeing a proliferation of consumer-directed digital health apps, and the pandemic has only made it grow, you know, whether it's fitness apps, health apps, or hardware that's, like I said earlier, that's used to detect and help diagnose health conditions. I think, you know, the pandemic has forced folks who historically weren't tech savvy or didn't see the usefulness of these types of software or hardware solutions to kind of start using the technology and adopt them.
And how could people learn more about you and your practice if they want to visit with you, Jonathan?
Sure. So if you go to McGuire Woods website, so I'm on the McGuire Woods website. It engagements that I've done, and I'm happy to talk to anyone who has any questions about it, you know, whether the legal or the practical issues surrounding this.
Are you ever amazed at looking at your parents, the amount of stuff that's been sent to them at home to try and have them help with their diagnosis, help them work with the physician, remotely and stuff like that? Does it ever blow you away how that's evolved so quickly?
It has, and it's also blown me away. I can tell you, I should back up. I worked for the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT 10 years ago when we rolled out the Meaningful Use Incentive Program, which many of your listeners probably know, where we were, you know, HHS gave like $40 billion to get providers to use electronic health records. And, you know, 10 years ago, this kind of area of technology was very, it was still a young, not mature kind of area of healthcare. And in the last 10 years, I remember 10 years ago, trying to get those types of otoscopes and those types of, stethoscopes that would work through telemedicine. You'd go to different, trade shows, and they'd be, $5,000 a piece. And, they weren't really scalable to be given to patients who are homebound. And now, it's a couple hundred bucks, and it's, they're not, they're FDA cleared. They have the same kind of sensitivity as the tools that a doctor uses. I mean, it just blows me away that one, the how fast the cost has gone down, and then two, the ability to ship these out to folks and the ease of use that a lot of these technologies have had, have gotten.
And how they're, and how they're not clunky today, how they're actually user friendly. It's not like what you'd expect, sort of a third tier stethoscope. It's actually something that's very usable.
Yeah, even as close as 5 years ago, I know one of my other backgrounds was I worked with a Medicare Advantage plan, and obviously we were incentivized to keep people healthy and out of the hospital, and we tried to roll these types of monitoring equipment out, and it was, very expensive. It was Bluetooth enabled, but it never really worked. The patients who weren't, you basically had to have if you gave it to a patient, you had to have like an IT, the IT staff on call to answer 24 hours a day, because it just would not work. And now it's kind of seamless. I mean, everything, has been tested and works, and the technology is more mature, and it's I think also because it's easier to use, then the patients are more likely to use the technology, right? Because if you're a patient and you're trying to use this technology and you can't get it, you're trying to make it work for 30 minutes, you're just going to give up. Whereas if it's seamless, it's, you're going to get, you're going to get compliance with, by the patients, and the patients are going to use it.
Fantastic. What a remarkable set of experiences, Jonathan. Thank you for taking the time to visit with us today and to teach us more about what's going on and some of these evolutions and how quickly they're coming. Thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us.
Well, thank you very much.